John chapter number 3, one of everyone's favorite chapters in the Bible, looking at a familiar story this morning in the story of Nicodemus, and then eventually in 2 weeks we'll be in John 3:16, which I'm excited to preach about. And so if you'll be turning to John chapter 3, while you're turning there, I just want to put in a plug, and I told our Sunday school class, you'll hear this in every service today, our missions conference starts Wednesday. And I know it's weird to start a conference on a Wednesday, but that's just what we're doing. We're going to start it on Wednesday. Brother Wido will be with us, and he's going to preach for us Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. All those services start at 7 p.m., and you will be blessed if you're here. If you're not here, you'll miss it. It's just the truth. But I'm looking for God to do a work in our hearts regarding missions this year. And so I don't want it to just be a conference. I want it to be something that the Lord speaks to our hearts and then we're able to carry through and see the Lord work in years to come because of what he does at this conference. It's kind of the beginning point. This next month, our focus this year is the word together. And next month, our theme is partnering together. And partnering together, you'll see, has to do with missions. And so each week in the next few months, we're going to have, or each sermon in the next few weeks, as we look at partnering together, there's going to be a missions focus and even some practical things that I believe the Lord is just kind of leading our church to do regarding missions. And so I'm excited about not just hearing of it, but acting on God's word. But again, you won't get it unless you're here, and it all starts Wednesday. So let me give you the calendar. Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Thursday, 7 o'clock. Friday, 7 o'clock. Saturday, we have an international banquet. You say, what's that? That's when a bunch of Wyomingites come together and try to make food from other countries. And it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot. And some Texans even are going to cook, I think. It'll be a lot of fun. 6 o'clock, we're going to have a good time. It'll really just be a banquet. We may present a missionary or two that evening. But 6 o'clock, we'll have the banquet. And then on Sunday, and this is important for everyone to know, no Sunday school next Sunday. We're just going to have one big service. It'll start at 11. It'll likely be longer than our normal services. Okay, so we're going to start at 11. Just know, eat a big breakfast or something, because it'll probably go into lunch a little bit. And then here's the deal. Here's my deal. We won't have an afternoon service. Okay, so we're going to kind of get it all done in one service. Looking forward to what God will do. And so just make sure that you say, what can I do about it right now? Mark the calendar. Just be here. And you'll know what to do when you're here, all right? And I've had even a couple questions. Hey, what are we doing? What is the missions conference? Well, we're going to get together and preach the word. And we're going to see what God does. And so we have some other things also kind of planned in there. But I just believe that the church is built on the scriptures. And so that's our focus. And so anyway, make your plans to be here. If you're going to be here this week, say amen. 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 All right. The Lord heard you. John chapter 3. If you're there, if you'll stand with me. And we're going to be in verses 1 through 15 today. And I just entitled the message, You Must Be Born Again. You must be born again. This records the second personal conversation between Jesus and someone in the scriptures. And we know that John, the writer, delights in giving us conversations where the Lord is working on someone's heart toward their belief. And so he's already talked, you might remember, to Nathaniel, a personal conversation. Now his second conversation recorded for us is the conversation between him and Nicodemus. The Lord wanted to meet with Nicodemus. He had a message for him. And let me tell you this, the Lord wants to meet with us today. He has a message for us. All right, John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Father, I pray for your help this morning, communicating the word. Pray that you would just give your spirit to us today to understand. And Lord, that your word would make an impact on our hearts and lives. Lord, if there's someone here today like Nicodemus, full of questions and just unanswered, you might say, mysteries about you and the gospel, Lord, we pray that they would come to a place of belief so that they might understand. I pray that you would help me in the preaching today, and Lord, would you get all the honor and glory from it all? We'll ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So quickly, an introduction to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, it says in verse number 1, a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and it says this, a ruler of the Jews. So we need to understand who this is and the fact that he's coming from a sect of men that opposed Jesus at every turn. We're talking about the Pharisees, the spiritual elite of the Jews. And from that group, mostly, when you read about the Pharisees in the Bible, let me give you a hint, it's not good, right? It's not good. When you read about the Pharisees in the Bible, it's always that they are in rejection of Christ, they're opposing Christ. I mean, the Pharisees as a whole, that group became the Lord's greatest enemies on earth, and they were unwilling to accept Christ. What's interesting about that, they were the ones that had the scriptures. They were the ones that were studying the law. But what they had done is they had made their own religion out of it. And they had started to sort of train people to follow after their religion. And so when the Lord shows up on the scenes, they should have recognized him as the Messiah. They should have recognized him as the one who would come. As the Old Testament says, that prophet, capital P, they should have recognized him, but they didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was, and they didn't understand. And even as they started to learn that this, and hear me, they started to learn this really is him. They continued to reject. It's kind of unfathomable. They would see him do these miracles that no one could do, as Nicodemus says here, and yet they would still oppose him and still reject. When he rose Lazarus from the dead, you might remember that illustration. He rose Lazarus from the dead. No one could deny that Lazarus was dead in that grave 4 days. Jesus walked up and said, come forth. And he came forth. And they had a meeting afterwards and said, we got to kill Lazarus again, right? Why? They knew Jesus had done a miracle no one could do, but yet they still rejected him. Did you know this? Even at the resurrection of Christ, you can read about it in the Gospels. They understood and even knew as a fact that Jesus had bodily risen from the dead. And yet they said, how do we cover this up? They just refused to believe. This is that group called the Pharisees. And Nicodemus is one of the Pharisees. And in fact, it says he was a ruler among them. And what's happening is Jesus has now come on the scene. And we've been in John here for a few weeks. So you know, he's just started to preach and to teach. He's doing all of these miracles. And what he's doing is he's taking a wrecking ball to the Pharisees' religion. That's what he's doing. And they're just seeing it come down around it, and they can't stand it. And out of that group that's so upset by everything he's doing comes Nicodemus. But Nicodemus was different. Nicodemus had real questions. I often say from the pulpit, I've said it several times here, I believe it, I'll keep saying it. There's really just two types of people in our world. You know, the world, the best thing the devil likes to do is divide people, various reasons and whatever, you know, you can be mad at, the world wants you to be mad at those other people, whoever they are, right? And so they divide us up. But when God looks down, he just sees two people. He sees the saved and the lost, right? He sees those that are in his family, in the family of God. He sees those that are still under the influence of the wicked one. They're in the devil's family. He just looks down. He sees there's some that have my son. There's some that don't. Those are the two groups of people. And I hope today that you're in the group of people that are the saved. I hope today that you have chosen to accept Christ as your Savior, so you're a child of God, and I hope you're in that group. The message today, however, might be to those that aren't yet in that group. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus did all the work so that you can come from that side and get into the right side. I'm just here to tell you, he wants you to be his child, his son or daughter. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. And so my pleading is with you today, because as I studied this passage this week, I learned something, and I'm not going to get away from the two groups of people thing. It's still there. It's still good. But just think about all the lost people for a second. Did you know among the lost people, there are two types? There are those with questions, and then there are those with questions. Is that clear? No, there's two types. The Pharisees walked around Jesus and followed him around and at every turn had questions. But you know this, they weren't seeking any answers. Their questioning was to trick Jesus, to trap Jesus, as Jesus says, to tempt him. And so what they would do is they would throw out a stumbling block, something for him to trip over. I bet Jesus can't answer this one. I bet he can't answer this one. Oh, we've caught him here. We've caught him. And let's go and we'll throw out a question. And listen, this group had already rejected Christ in their heart. They did not want the answer. All they were trying to do was tempt and really they weren't searching. They were scoffing. Does that make sense? Scoffers. Do you know there's those types of lost people today? They've already rejected Christ in their heart. And they're not looking to they're not asking questions to try to come to some understanding. They're asking questions to try to scoff at, to try to make fun of, if you will, and to try to maybe build up their case a little bit about the fact that they don't believe. There are those type of lost people. I'll tell you, it's a very, very dangerous group to be in. Most of the Pharisees were in that group. And what I find interesting about it is something I thought about. People that are in that group, it's like they're obsessed with asking questions because it's like they have to keep confirming their position over and over with their silly questions. I don't think you got it. So here. Is what control? Oh, it absolutely. Yeah, they don't want to submit. So I'll get to that in just a second. So no, you're fine. It's okay when someone talks because I got enough squirrels in my own mind distracting me. You know? It's okay. I'm used to it. I don't believe in Bigfoot. Just make a blanket statement. Do you know this? I don't have to go around defending my position. I'm not obsessed with him. I don't just like look for arguments and try to like throw questions out about him because I know he's not real. I don't care. And it's like these folks in this group, they don't quote believe, but they're obsessed. They're obsessed with trying to question and honestly, you can just see Romans 1 in play when they know in their heart that he exists and they know in their heart that he is real, but yet they're doing everything they can to sort of calm down their spirit about him. And so they're throwing out their question. And it absolutely is a matter of they just don't want to submit to the truth that they know. And so there's those types of questioners. Titus tells us to avoid foolish questions. Says this, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. That's one who's just throwing those questions out, but they're not looking for the answers. But they spend a lot of time. I just want to tell them, it's like, do we have any vegetarians in here? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to offend any vegetarians. I am not, okay? I'm a meatitarian, okay? And if you're a vegetarian, I'm happy for you. And I'm not against you. But I noticed like vegetarians, they really want to eat meat a lot. I saw a commercial the other day. A guy was, or it was a video. He's making carrots into hot dogs. Like he does this whole thing. It takes like 2 weeks and he makes us some carrots into hot dogs. And I'm thinking, dude, if you want a hot dog that bad, Oscar Mayer. I mean, I've never eaten a burger and thought, man, I hope this tastes like salad. So for these vegetarians, I'm like, they're kind of obsessed with meat, you know? It's the same idea. These false teachers, these ones that are questioning Christ, they're obsessed with him. Why? Because they know the truth. They knew who he was. It wasn't that they didn't know who he was. They were rejecting him in the heart. And I'm just telling you, that's a dangerous place to be. It's someone who who you know. Romans 1 says, no, it's there, it's in you, you see it in the creation, it's in your conscience, you know that there's a God, and when the Spirit starts to draw you, because the Spirit draws every man, and when the Spirit starts to draw you to Christ, we know this, there's none good, no, not one, there's none that seeketh after God. So if Nicodemus is seeking, it's because first God was drawing him, but he was also drawing those other Pharisees, and he was drawing people that were opposing him. And when you start to feel that drawing, if your first in the inclination is rejection and skepticism and foolish questions, I'm telling you, you're in that dangerous group. The second group, and the part that I believe Nicodemus is in, is the type that, I mean, he's not a believer as of yet in John chapter 3. In fact, as you follow the story, we find in chapter 7, he's not yet a believer then either, but we do find him believing the Lord at least near the end of the Lord's ministry, and I'll show you that. But Nicodemus was genuinely searching. As God was presenting himself to Nicodemus, as he does, Nicodemus was responding. He had genuine questions in his heart. He didn't immediately reject. He didn't question and tempt and scoff. His response was different. He had real, genuine searching, and he desired to know the truth. Can I help us this morning? A lost person today, whom the Spirit is drawing, and they just, you know, I just don't know. I have questions. Did you know God is delights in answering the questions of those that have real questions? And Nicodemus, he had a lot of questions. He was a guy that, you know, he had been brought up a certain way. There was a whole history of this Judaism in his life. He had a lot of teachers and preachers that he looked up to. He's then seeing Jesus come on the scene. He's noticing the miracles. He's hearing Jesus' words. And honestly, in Nicodemus' heart, he's trying to reconcile all the things he's been taught in his past. He's trying to put that together with the scriptures he has. And he's like, okay, these things don't line up. I have so many questions. And so he comes to the Lord by night because, you know, he couldn't come with his cronies during the day. So he comes to the Lord by night, and he's asking the Lord some questions because he's truly searching. Now, I know this about Nicodemus because later, in fact, just take your Bibles, go to John 7. John 7. And I want you to see this later in the ministry of Christ. Now, John 7 comes after John 6. No amens? I mean, come on, I studied. No, John 7 comes after John 6. John 6 is that I am the bread of life chapter where most of the Lord's disciples left him. Okay? So John 7 now, post bread of life preaching, where all the other disciples have gone and forsaken Christ, now you have this argument between all these Pharisees. And we won't read all of it for sake of time, but if you go down to verse 40, it says this: many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? And I mean, they started to argue. They started to fight about it. You know, it really was causing a division within their little religious sect. But notice in verse 50, Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them. So it's talking about the Nicodemus of chapter 3. Here's what he says. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? You see, Nicodemus' heart was open. Do you see that? In chapter 7, there's a group of people that are like, you know, they're just arguing, they're split over who Jesus is, and Nicodemus is like, I'm not done. The jury's not out. The jury's still out, right? I haven't decided, because we ought to give. We can't judge him before we hear him. He's saying this, guys, this could be the Christ. See, his heart was open. So the problem wasn't that he had questions. Did you know this? All lost people have questions. All of them. All saved people have questions. The issue was he still had an open heart. And what I find is later, after Jesus dies, and I don't know exactly when Nicodemus accepted Christ, but I know he did, because in John chapter 20, I think, no, John chapter 19, after Jesus is crucified, Joseph of Arimathea has a tomb, and he's going to lend out his tomb to the Lord. And he goes to get the body of Jesus, and guess who meets him? Nicodemus. He meets him and he takes care of the body. Did you know all the Nicodemus of John 19? He didn't have any more questions. He was a believer. So here's going to be the sermon today then. What happened between the time of John 3, Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night with all sorts of stirring in his heart, all sorts of questions, and John 19, where the questions were answered, he's willing to literally risk his life to say, I'm one of his. Well, let's study that. I'm glad you asked. Let's look at the conversation. Verse number 2, so back to John 3, verse number 2, there's no question here, right? He makes a statement. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he comes to the Lord at night. The Lord knows the questions in his heart. And trust me, he's full of questions because Jesus gives him a quick answer. He says, you must be born again. And he marvels. He doesn't accept that answer because he goes, what does that mean? Right? And I know in our day, we think, well, of course you got to be born again. You got to be saved. That, you know, if you never knew that terminology and then the Messiah is telling you, you must be born again, you would have the same question Nicodemus had. You go, how can a man be born again? Is he going to enter his mother's womb and be born again? Is this some kind of a weird like reincarnation type thing? What's going on here? I mean, the question is legitimate. Again, Nicodemus didn't have the book of John, the book of 1 John, to explain what born again means. We know it because we've been taught it, that once you're saved, you've been born again. We'll talk about that in a little bit more in a minute. He didn't know that. So he goes, okay, now I'm more confused, Lord. I don't understand. What does it mean to be born again? The Lord says, marvel not. It gives him a little more scripture. Verse number 9, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? In verse number 10, Jesus says, you're a ruler, you're a ruler, you're a teacher, and knowest not these things? You see, here's the deal. When I look at the story of Nicodemus, and Jesus' answer, you must be born again, here's what I did in my reading, and this is what I want to help you with this morning because this is the whole message, right? You got to get it. This week in my study, I believe the Lord just actually revealed the whole point of this conversation to me. I always thought that Jesus saying, ye must be born again, was in answer to the question, how can I go to heaven? How can I be saved? That's what I thought. I thought Nicodemus comes and says, Lord, how can I go to heaven? How can I be saved? And Jesus said, you must be born again. And I just came to that and by the way, I think if we were to raise our hand today, everyone in here would probably go, yeah, that's what I thought too. Nicodemus comes, he's just like, he just wants to know how to be born again. He wants to know how to be saved. And it surprised him when the Lord said, you must be born again. But do you see that question anywhere in the text? What I see is not a question. I see a man stirring with questions. He's got a ton of questions. I mean, he wants to know about the scriptures that he's been reading. He wants to know about the new teaching Jesus has been teaching. He wants to know about the miracles. He wants to know what it means to be born again. I mean, the man is just stirring with questions. And here was Jesus' answer. You must be born again. Now, you're going to get it. I know you don't yet. Don't tune me out. You've heard this story so many times. And you may miss the whole point of the text. I've read this. I don't know how many times I've read John 3. And missed it. We know what Jesus was saying. So let me establish the point we know first. He was saying, Nicodemus, you need to be saved. We know that. That's what he was saying. John 1, just look back a chapter. John 1, we know that being born again is being saved. It's the same. It's synonymous, one of the same. Verse number 12, John 1, 12. But as many as received him, so you got to receive Christ. That's how you get saved. You receive Christ. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Born children, right? Sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Born of God. You see that? He's like, if you're saved, it's because you believed in Christ. And when you believed in Christ, you were then born of God. That's the same idea, being born again. And this is what happens when you are saved. You are born again. And we know that the Bible teaches us that to be saved, to go to heaven someday, we must be born again. All that is true. So I take away from nothing of that. But as the conversation between the Lord and Nicodemus progresses, Jesus continues to give him the gospel. In fact, you may not realize this, but John 3:16, Jesus was speaking that to Nicodemus. Okay, that was a message to Nicodemus. The conversation continues, and eventually Jesus gets to the gospel and the fact that he needs to believe and be saved and all of those things. It's all in there. But listen, the first few verses in this conversation where Nicodemus is talking to Jesus, there's a different point the Lord's making. Nicodemus was having trouble putting it all together. He was full of questions. He was seeking for understanding. He wanted to understand all things that he was pondering. So Jesus was dealing with his questioning heart. His questioning heart. I want to explain this, and all of a sudden it seems hard to explain. Let's do it like this. Did you know what the key verse in the passage is? It's verse 8. It's the verse we all read and don't pay attention to. It is literally the key verse. It tells us what the whole thing's about. Look at verse 8 again. Wait, before you read it, this happens. The Lord will be having a conversation, and then he'll just say something, and you're going, what is he talking about? Okay, that's just me. Nicodemus, hey, Lord, I have all these questions. Well, you got to be born again. And all of a sudden, the Lord starts talking about the wind. No, the wind. Nicodemus, the wind blows. You all know that. We're in Razor City. The wind blows. You feel it. You feel the breeze on your face. You see the evidence of it. But you don't know whence it comes from. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. Did you know they didn't have, like, the Weather Channel? He's like, it's the weirdest thing, wind. And it still is. I still don't know how it all works. Don't explain it to me. I don't want to know, all right? Someone's going to come up, well, you know how it works. I don't care. Here's the deal. What he's saying is, you want to understand something that you can't understand. Your heart's full of spiritual questions, Nicodemus. Your heart's full, it's stirring with all these things from your scripture reading, your past, the teachers that you've listened to. You're very confused. But here's what he's, oh, let's read that verse, okay? The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell it whence it cometh, nor and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, I could answer every question you have. Not me, the Lord. I could answer every question you have, but you won't get it. You won't understand it. If I took all day, Nicodemus, and I sat down with you all night, and we went over every question line by line, I explained it all to you, you won't get it. You must be born again. Nicodemus wanted understanding before he exercised faith. Nicodemus wanted to understand all the answers to all of his questions before he would place his faith in Christ. And that's not how it works. The things that he had questions about were spiritual things. And the natural man receiveth not the spiritual things. It's in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 2. Let's go there, 1 Corinthians 2. Nicodemus, he was one of those knowledge before following kind of guys. You tell me the answer. You answer these questions, Lord, and explain it to me because I can't understand it. Maybe if I just understood it, then I would believe. Did you know what faith is? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I have to explain it to you for you to believe it, that's not faith. Faith is, and we're going to have a Faith Promise Missions Conference. Did you know we give to missions based on faith? We just trust God's going to supply the money. We give it, and then we trust he's going to use the money. It's all faith. The Lord, he deals with us in measures of faith. So coming with all the questions and expecting to understand the answers, you can't understand the answers because you're not born of Him. You don't have the Spirit. Therefore, if we instruct you for days and days and days, you must be born again. I've dealt with people who needed to be saved, and they come in the office, and boy, they got all sorts of questions. And for a minute, you try. You're like, okay, I'll explain that. Okay, I'll explain how God can make a rock so big that even He couldn't pick it up. I'll explain that question. I'll explain, and you go through, and four or five questions in, you're going, for some reason, bro, you're not getting it. Maybe what you need to do is just get saved. Because the knowledge and the understanding come with the acceptance of the Lord and the entering in of the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus, I can answer your questions, but you won't get it. You must be born again. What he's telling them is, you've got to place your faith in me first. You've got to believe in me first. You've got to be saved. And yes, then these questions will be answered and you'll have spiritual understanding. The lost world, boy, they wrestle with questions. I mean, their hearts stirring with questions. The more social media they get on, the more internet they get on. I mean, the more false preachers they listen to, more and more questions arise. And they want answers and they come demanding answers. And here's the solution. You must be born again. Why don't I understand? Why don't I get it? You don't have the Holy Spirit. And you're dealing with spiritual matters. Did I tell you to go to 1 Corinthians 2? Okay, let's read that. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of the world that are come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Listen, the princes of this world, you might say the smartest people in the world, they don't know the Lord's wisdom. For had they known it, okay, who are we talking about here? Guess what? We're talking about the Pharisees. How do I know that? Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? What he's saying there is if you're not alive in Christ, you're going to know the carnal things. If you're alive in Christ, you're going to know the spiritual things. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The Lord could have spent all night with Nicodemus, giving him spiritual truth after spiritual truth after spiritual truth. Nicodemus never would have understood. They would have just been foolishness to him, adding more confusion. Jesus says, the answer to your question is ye must be born again. You need to get saved, Nicodemus. There's people out there, and they're saying, I've got all these questions. If the Lord just answers, if you'll just explain, if you'll just prove God to me, then I might believe. It's not faith at all, is it? We want understanding before we exercise faith. It's just the way we are. Even us believers. We want understanding before we exercise faith. We want to know how it's all going to turn out. Lord, show me the end of the story. You'll let me know it's all going to be okay. I'll do it. Here's what God says. I'm not telling you if it's going to be okay. Son, I want you to step out on faith. I want you to exercise faith. I last week, we were talking about something else. I can't even remember which service it was at, but we looked at Proverbs 16, and we looked at the scripture where, commit thy works unto the Lord, and all thy thoughts shall be established. It's not the other way around. It's not, God will establish all your thoughts and then you can do what the Lord wants you to do. No, it's obey God and then you'll understand. There's so many things that God tells us to do, and we say, I don't want to do that. You know how that might be embarrassing, or man, I can't afford that. Do you know the consequence? I can't do that. But I don't see how that's going to work out. And we won't do what God does or wants us to do. But those times where we say, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, I'll step out on faith. I'll do that. Did you know this? When you look back, it seems like you always know why you did it. It just does. It just seems, you look back, you go, oh, God does know. Really, he did know the best. Nicodemus was saying, give me the answers, then I'll take the test. It's not how it works. Are you hearing this? If you're here today and you're not saved and you're sitting there stirring, you got a lot of genuine questions. That does nothing wrong. Being unsaved, you're going to have a lot of questions. Can I tell you this? Here's where the questions begin to be answered. You must be born again. You want answers to spiritual things? You've got to be saved. And so the Lord, in his continued conversation with Nicodemus, he takes it there. Verse 11 through 13, we read it. But the Lord is saying, these are spiritual questions you have. You don't even understand earthly things, Nicodemus. You don't even understand earth. What am I going to tell you about heaven? And the only one that knows about heaven is me, because I've been there. That's the Texas guy version of what the Lord said in verse 11 through 13. And it's like, you want to know things that you have no ability to comprehend. Here's what you need. Verse 14. As Moses lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know what that's referring to? That's the crucifixion. What he does now is he's going to point Nicodemus to the gospel. He's going to say, here's what you need. You need to understand that, and of course he's talking of himself, I'm going to die in your place for your sin. And Nicodemus, the only way you can be born again and have that spiritual renewing, and yes, understand the spiritual things you seek, is to accept me. That's in the next verse, verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So many questions would be answered if you were just born again. There may be someone here like Nicodemus today, full of questions. And you can't understand the spiritual things, but you desire to. And you've got a lot of, you know, maybe past teaching. Maybe you got a lot of voices in your ears. You're just trying to sort it all out. And you need discernment. You need to know what's true. And you need to know the understanding. Jesus says, trust me first. And then you'll understand. The Lord in the book of Matthew takes a child and he says, hey, come here. And I don't know, little child, come here, sit in my lap. And he sits there and the Lord says, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Can I tell you this? I could call junior church this morning. They're probably looking for a break. It's noon. And I could say, hey, send up a couple of those kids. And we could sit them down here and we could say, tell me your position on soteriology. Well, yeah, no, really. Tell me about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And that kid's going to look at us like we are crazy. They don't know those things. But a child properly instructed, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, can understand that they're a sinner. They can understand that Jesus died for them. They can put their faith in Jesus. And I mean, better than any of us adults can just take the step, I believe in Christ. And the Lord says, that's how you get there. You don't wait for all your questions to be answered and all the understanding. Trust me, the understanding follows. The story of Nicodemus is the Lord telling Nicodemus, you're puzzled, but you just need to trust me. You just need to trust me. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the story of Nicodemus. I thank you that we can read near the end of the Gospels, Lord, the story of Nicodemus and the fact that he does come to you as Savior. At some point, he believed. We're grateful. My prayer this morning is for someone here today that maybe like Nicodemus, they're full of questions and stirring, maybe even argumentatively, but they haven't trusted you and they'll never get the understanding they need until they do. Lord, if that be the case for someone today, may you save that sinner just like you saved me, just like you saved Nicodemus, or just so they can be born again. And as we know, we rest in all the truth that you give us. As we know, our heart, even in the things we still don't know, we rest in the truth. We don't stir about because we have your Spirit. Lord, help us this morning in this time of invitation. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.